Welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Chris. I'm Jeff Watts, and today I'll be reading from the AARP magazine. The first article, up front, the A-list, 5 lessons from Cher. Be heard. Growing up, I assumed everybody sang. My grandfather, uncle played guitar, and my mom and I would sing. When Sonny, her first husband, and I first lived together, we were just friends, and I needed a place to sleep. He was in the music business. One time he came home, and I was singing in the bedroom. He stuck his head in the doorway and said, "Is that you? You sing?" He was astounded, and I was surprised that he was astounded. Number 2, find your people. I don't feel my heritage growing up, but I did feel it when I went to visit Armenia after the Berlin Wall came down. Armenians were being displaced and even killed. Cher, please tell the Americans about us. I didn't have the heart to tell him that America was not going to help. Ignore your age. My mom used to say that if you don't pay attention to your age, it won't pay attention to you. I'm aware of getting older. I don't like it, but it doesn't stop me. When Alexander Edwards, her boyfriend, took me to an Usher concert, I was bopping around and we were dancing. I feel different than I did 20 years ago, but I don't feel old. It never gets easier to be in a relationship. I may be older, but I'm never going to be grounded. I'm more weather, maybe. Let love in. It was an accident. After we met in 2022, we started texting. He later said, "I think I was in love with you after the third text. At first I kept saying, 'You don't want to do this. You shouldn't be doing this. And I don't want this.'" He was only 36, way too young. But he's very stubborn and he just didn't see it my way. Persist. Someone said that after an atomic war, there would only be cockroaches. And Cher left. I never expected to be here now, still doing what I'm doing. There were times I thought, I can't live through this. I can't come back from this. Nothing will ever happen again. The trick is, don't give up. When you hit a wall, back up and go in another direction. For my 2023 album, Christmas, my vocal coach brought me back from the dead. Not the first time, and just keep working. Cher, she is 77, is a Grammy-winning singer, Oscar-winning actress, fashion icon, and pop culture phenomena. She has an album, Memoir, and buy-up in the pipeline. Up front and go, power trip. Rental car companies now offer fully electric vehicles, EVs, in their fleets. What you should learn. Learn to drive again. You might not need to use the brakes much. The car slows quickly when you take your foot off the pedal, even down to a stop. And give yourself extra time to figure out the dashboard controls. Go the distance. An EV can generally travel 200 to 300 miles on a full charge. But Greg Bannon of AAA notes that EVs use more power in extreme temperatures, hot or cold. Recharge it. Use the car's or your phone's navigation system to find charging stations. Renting a Tesla lets you use the company's expansive network of dedicated high-speed chargers, says Mike Linden of travel industry website Skiff. Pedaling the rails. Enjoy a day on the tracks without the train. You can enjoy a scenic rail trip without climbing aboard a train. Instead, you'll be in the open air using your legs for power. Rail biking gives you a way to get out into nature that you'll probably not experience otherwise, said Ed LaScaglia, Chief Operating Officer for Revolution Rail, which offers tours in 4 states. Hear how it works. Use special vehicles. Riders sit in the small open cars that sit either 2 or 4 people. They propel via pedal, although many trail bikes incorporate an electric motor too. Don't worry, it's safe. Many companies run their excursions on tracks that have been decommissioned for train use. In some cases where the railroads are still active, excursions are scheduled when no trains are coming. That makes sense. It's just like any scheduled event. You stick to the times and you don't run into each other, says Mary Lou Retton, CEO and owner of Rail Explorers, which operates rail bike tours in six states. You won't ride alone. Guides accompany riders and administrate safety checks and provide instructions. It need not be intense. There are leisurely rides, typically under 10 miles per hour, which round trips running from 1 to 4 hours. You may take in mountain views, pass through farmland, forests or fields, or ride by water and across bridges. Rail bikes have semi-recumbent seating, meaning you lean back with the pedals in front of you. Robert Nichols, co-owners of Joseph Branch Rail Riders in Oregon, says it's easier on your joints than riding a bike. Also, riding on steel tracks creates little friction. All right, how about science and history on display? Museums are always evolving. Check out four being revamped this year. The Stonewall National Monument, that's in New York City, opening in June. The new visitor center will host lectures and exhibits about LGBTQ plus history and culture, as well as works by LGBTQ plus artists. Natural History Museum in L.A., opening in September, a major upgrade will add a 400-seat theater, while a long-necked dinosaur skeleton will greet visitors to a new welcome center. Astronomy Discover at Lowell Observatory, Flagstaff, Arizona. It's opening this November. A new facility will include a children's exhibit hall and dark sky planetarium. Cleveland Museum of Natural History, opening late 24. New exhibit wings will detail Earth's origins and show how living things adapt and change over time. Okay, under upfront, new rules of laundry. Who knew? It's time to re-examine how we do the wash. Modern appliances have made doing laundry easier than ever. But new technology can mean rethinking clothes washing techniques. Some fresh tips. Don't overload. Washers have become wider, deeper, and taller, but don't jam your entire wardrobe into the drum. When we overstuff, the clothes and detergent can't circulate enough, says Keith Flammer, laundry expert for Consumer Reports. Check the manual. The recommended load size might be smaller than you think. Drizzle the detergent. Washing machines use high-efficiency detergent now, which means you don't need to add more than 2 tablespoons in a full load, says Patrick Richardson, host of the Laundry Guy show on Discovery. In fact, using too much can work against you. Excess detergent may not fully drain in the rinse cycle. The soap is doing its job, but it doesn't get rinsed out, so it resettles into your clothes with the dirt. Get comfy with cold. Hot water doesn't have super cleaning power, and it can cause stains to set in. Consumer Reports tested stain removal at various temperatures and found that cooler water was more effective. Take care with athletic wear. If you're an exerciser, add oxygen bleach to a load with workout clothes, Richardson says. Also known as sodium bicarbonate, the product helps remove sweat stains. Skip the softener. Flamer says liquid fabric softeners or dryer sheets can do more harm than good. Most people like the soft clothes, but they can leave a layer of residue, he said. Instead, use dryer balls. They are typically made of wool and prevent laundry from clumping together. Keep the home loose. Americans are moving at the lowest rate in decades, and the longer we stay put, the more our storage becomes storage units. Our homes, a key to decluttering is to act as if you're getting ready to move, even when you're not. Here are some tips to tackle the task. Go room by room. You can better evaluate completion, says Nicole Gaber, author of The Art of Organizing. You can look around that one room and double check that you have gotten rid of everything you can. Make easy decisions first. This is the first pass. Recommending clothes or closets or kitchen drawers that may be have too much is a good place to start. They're less emotionally charged than a box of photos. Skip the maybe pile. All you're doing is putting off a hard decision, says Mary Kay Boos, co-executive director of the National Association of Senior and Specialty Move Managers. Sort items into three groups. Keep, discard, or you're going to sell it, or you're going to donate it. Get your kids involved. She notes that children and grandchildren often want things you don't expect, such as a favorite holiday ornament or a certain knickknack that you may have around. Do I need that phone jack? Walls throughout most American homes are littered with cable TV and phone jacks that have been made increasingly obsolete. Get rid of those things, says Katie Whitaker, founder of Handyman in New York City. They're super annoying. You can remove the jack with a screwdriver, tape off any wires, then cover the opening with a blank rectangular plate, says Whitaker. Or Paul Gillett, an electrician from New York City, advises, take some sponge and stuff the hole, then plaster and paint over it. A little more work, but might be worth it. Bringing stereo back. Stream your favorite music with that classic left-right sound. In the heyday of stereo systems, the 60s through the 80s, the standard home setup included two big weighty speakers. Remember woofers and tweeters? Carefully spaced apart from each other. These days, we're most likely to stream music into a single, portable, wireless speaker that's weighed in ounces rather than in pounds. Squashing a big, beautiful stereo mix into a little wireless speaker can jumble and muddle the music, robbing you of its subtleties, says Dennis Berger, co-host of the Audio Relay Unleashed podcast and editor of Soundstage. Access a publication dedicated to low-cost hi-fi. Consider the classic Dark Side of the Moon album by Pink Floyd, with the sound of cash registers chinging between the speakers at the start of Money. You also hear nuances like the interplay between David Gilmour's right rhythm guitar in the left channel and Richard Wright's funky electric piano in the right. But streaming music from a mobile device, it's so convenient. Here's how you can get the best of both worlds, according to Berger. Stream through an old stereo. If you still have a component stereo, buy a Bluetooth receiver and connect it to your tuner. These small devices cost as little as $25. Use standard stereo cables to hook up the Bluetooth unit to the auxiliary input in your stereo. Then put the receiver to your phone, tablet, or computer. I think I would need help doing that. Stream through active speakers. These sets of stereo speakers, also called powered speakers, have their own built-in amplifiers. They often are used to connect directly to a turntable, but many of them also work with mobile devices through built-in Bluetooth. They generally start around $150. Stream through a bookshelf stereo. These are mini stereo systems with detachable speakers, most likely with a CD player and radio built into the unit. Almost all of them come with Bluetooth capability for streaming these days. They can start around $120. Stream through two portable speakers. If you want speakers that are easy to tote, here's the trick. Buy two portable speakers. Many brands include a setting that lets you pair the two together. So one plays the music's left channel and the other plays the right channel. Individual speakers start around $80. Where to place the speakers? A good rule of thumb is to place the speakers as far apart from each other as they are from you, or from the center of your group when you're gathering with friends. Put another way, the listener and the two speakers should be a form of a triangle. Ask the guru, before discarding an old computer, cell phone, or tablet, we're supposed to erase it, but what about cases where that can't be done because of damage or missing cables? Jason Rich, author of AARP's Personal Tech Book, answers, if you can't wipe the device clean, then it's time to get physical. For a computer, remove the hard drive and smash it with a hammer or drill multiple holes through it. For a smartphone, tablet, or smartwatch, remove the SIM card and break it into pieces. Next, smash the mobile device or drill holes through its main components. You can even bring a kid or grandkid who would likely be thrilled to help. Then drop it off at the recycling center. Under upfront, read 9 page turners. Immerse yourself in notable new fiction, memoirs, and more. The tiny slice. Memory is a funny thing. We tend to remember the bad times more clearly than the good, but the good memories sit there patiently, waiting for us to find them. That's from Dear Mom and Dad, a letter about family, memory, and the America we once knew, by Patty Davis. She is the daughter of Nancy and Ronald Reagan. Memoir, the story of the Bee Gees, Children of the World. It's written by Bob Stanley. The Bee Gees, Barry and the late Maurice and Robin Gibb, had success with hits like Stayin' Alive and More Than a Woman, yet never received the respect they deserve. I agree. So argues author and musician Stanley in his homage to this deeply odd and quite wonderful band of brothers. Novels. Wandering Stars by Tommy Orange. This engrossing tale follows a survivor of the 1864 Sand Creek Massacre, which killed American troops and some 230 Cheyenne Indian people and his descendants, all hunted by the trauma of displacement. The Woman by Christine Hanna. In the 60s, and Frankie McGrath, a sheltered young nursing student, joins the U.S. Army and Nurse Corps and follows her brother to Vietnam. Her eye-opening wartime experiences shape her long life after she returns home. Until August by Gabriel Marquez. This sensual novel written by the late Colombian author of 100 Years of Solitude will be published by Kampf on March 12th. She didn't want it made public, but his two sons decided it should be shared. After Annie by Anna Quinlan. When Annie Brown dies suddenly, her oldest daughter, Allie, finds new strength amid her grief, while her husband and best friends are similarly shaken and transformed into this moving story. Up front, watch. Now playing. AARP critic Tim Apollo picks upcoming movies and shows worth considering. On Apple TV, February 14th, boasting what's apt to be the best-dressed cast of the TV series. This series is about a 1940s fashion revolutionary, Christian Dior. Played Ben Mendelsohn, 54, is also a World War II drama. His rival Paris designer Coco Chanel was a Nazi collaborator, while his sister was tortured in a concentration camp. Glenn Close plays the legendary Harper's Bazaar's editor, Carmel Snow, who famously exclaimed at Dior's 1947 show, "It's such a new look." The Taste of Thin Things in theaters February 9th. Gourmets and film fans are salivating over this French romance about a 19th century chef and his cook and lover who won't marry him, except maybe if he cooks for her. The Wall Street Journal raved, like a sip of wine, this film leaves one feeling a little drunk, desperately hungry, and entirely alive. Willie and Me. In a lightweight comedy, a German housewife makes a pilgrimage to Las Vegas farewell concert of Willie Nelson. See Nelson act, sing, and kick up his heels in a German folk dance. Not bad for a guy who is 90. Dune, Part 2. The second final Dune movie is apt to be better than the first one in 2021. This one gets to the main action as the heroes battle each other. Bob Marley, One Love. We're eager to see Kingsley's Ben Ayer, who played Malcolm X in One Night Miami, play the Jamaican superstar, and curious to hear him sing reggae hits. The actor's voice is blended with the real Bob and his son Ziggy Marley. The scene where the singer gets shot while rehearsing "I Shot the Sheriff" in 1976 really happened. Bittersweet, the joys and perils of my later in life birth mom quest by Anita Henderson. When I was 5, my parents shared the big news. I was so special when I was born that of all the babies in the nursery, they chose me to take home. I didn't yet have the full picture of my adoption, but it didn't matter. I felt loved. If you grow up with people who aren't your birth parents and those people care about you, you don't think too much about your biological mother and father. Although I did have a theory. I thought Tina Turner was my real mom. We had similar facial features, the same long legs, and I could sing. So why not? It took a tragedy in my 60s to put me on the trail of my birth parents. In October 2020, my son John suffered a massive stroke. He was only in his 40s, but he lost his fight the following August. My family encouraged me to find my birth mother to see about any genetic health issues. I started with Ancestry.com and found several matches, but mostly dead ends. I knew I was born in Cook County, so I sent an information request to the state of Illinois. 3 months later, I received my birth certificate. It showed my mother's name, birthday, in the hospital where I was born. That information is usually blacked out, but I even saw the name my mother gave me, Patsy. With this information, my youngest child, Kelsey, sat down at the computer. Within an hour, she had figured out the year my mother married and left Chicago for the West Coast and how many siblings I had. 3 sisters, 2 brothers. They didn't know I existed. Along with their locations and phone numbers, she also unearthed numbers from my mother. At age 68, I suddenly had a new family again. The next day, I called until I got somebody's voicemail. The voice sounded eerily like my own. Soon, someone called me back. The person, my sister turned out, asked me to repeat my date of birth. And that's when the voice that sounded like me chimed in from the background. I told everyone she had died. It was my mother. We talked for a bit and made a plan to meet. My friends, they all cried when I said I was meeting my birth mom. It was the most beautiful story they had ever heard. Honestly, I wasn't so sure. I was eager to meet her, but anxious. What would it be like to see her in person? After all, I was 68 years old. I was apprehensive flying out to Long Beach, California, but when I saw my mom, I felt a connection, Like me, she's a fashionista with her designer hat and little ankle boots and a belt that matched her earrings. We have the same dimple in our chin and the same slender fingers. We even laugh alike. And she and one of my sisters, as I found out, had had heart stent procedures. Her father also had heart issues. But we have something else in common, too. Neither of us shows our emotions easily. Part of me longed for an ongoing warm relationship, but we both had walls up. I was brought up with loving parents, but I still had this desire to meet my mom. It never became the love fest you see on those reunion shows. We couldn't really get there. After a few polite visits, we promised to stay in touch on birthdays and holidays. And even that hasn't really happened. So overall, it was somewhat disappointing, but at least I went through the process. I am overall glad I reached out, if for no other reason than I could alert my kin and my cardiologist to our family history of heart issues. That might have helped my son John, who had had a massive stroke only in his 40s. But I went into counseling afterwards and even took a job leave to sort out my new and resurfaced feelings. I had hurt, sadness, a sense of abandonment. The truth is, I didn't need to meet her. I've had a very good life. And, as I said before, very, very fortunate to have parents that did love me. People talk about finding closure. Maybe that's true for some people, and maybe they develop a relationship after meeting the birth parents. But like I said, it didn't happen so much for me. I had a very good life, and like I said, parents who did love me. People talk about finding closure. Maybe closure, maybe it's overrated. When you reach a certain age, life can be okay just as it is. As I said, I didn't find this out till I was 68 years old, so I was not a young child or a teenager looking for their birth parents. Anita Henderson, who's now 69, lives in Roswell, Georgia, where she's an insurance agent. She recently started Black Babies Adopted, LLC, to offer a platform for other Black adoptees to share their adoption experiences. Again, if you're interested in that, to maybe search down, it's Anita Austin Henderson. She's from Roswell, Georgia. She's an insurance agent. And she recently started, most importantly, Black Babies Adopted, LLC, to offer a platform for other Black adoptees to share their adoption experiences. Doesn't give a website, so you may want to search under her name, Anita Austin Henderson, Roswell, Georgia, under Black Babies Adopted, and that may give you some more information. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I've been reading from the AARP magazine. I'm Jeff Watson. So long until next time.